The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Hello, this is Margaret Dixon on Page Turners at WTBR-FM 89.7. We are continuing to read Time in the Gods by Laura Dunsany. And we are going to start with a little story called The Jest of the Gods. Once the older gods had need of laughter. Therefore, they made the soul of a king and set in it ambitions greater than kings should have, and lust for territories beyond the lust of other kings. And in this soul, they set strength beyond the strength of others, and fierce desire for power and a strong pride. Then the gods pointed earthward and sent that soul into the fields of men to live in the body of a slave. And the slave grew, and the pride and lust for power began to arise in his heart, and he wore shackles on his arms. Then in the fields of twilight, the gods prepared to laugh. But the slave went down to the shore of the great sea, and cast his body away and the shackles that were upon it, and strode back to the fields of twilight, and stood up before the gods, and looked them in their faces. This thing the gods, when they had prepared to laugh, had not foreseen. Lust for power burned strong in that king's soul, and there was all the strength and pride in it that the gods had placed therein. And he was too strong for the older gods. He whose body had borne the lashes of men could brook no longer the dominion of the gods, and standing before them, he bade the gods to go. Up to their lips leapt all the anger of the older gods, being for the first time commanded. But the king's soul faced them still, and their anger died away, and they averted their eyes. Then their thrones became empty, and the fields of twilight bare as the gods slunk far away. But the soul chose new companions. Well, that ended well for the person for once. And that goes to show, don't be a jerk, even if you're a god. This next one's a little longer, and we're only going to be able to get through about three parts before I have to start up again next week. So, yep, let's just get started. But first, a message from our sponsor.
Whoa, like, what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR-FM. Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
The Berkshire Mobile Farmers Market returns this summer. Our mission is to support local farms by bringing their fresh food to communities across Berkshire County. We sell seasonal produce, eggs, meat, cheese, bread, and more. Plus, we offer a sliding scale payment system. We'll be in Adams, North Adams, Beckett, Monterey, and two Pittsfield locations from June through October. Find out more at BerkshireMobileFarmersMarket.org.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on The Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure? coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And we're back. For those just tuning in, this is Margaret Dixon on Page Turner's Continuing Time in the Gods by Lord Dunsany. This is, I think, the very last part, and it is called The Dreams of the Prophet, and this is part one. When the gods drave me forth to toil and assailed me with thirst and beat me down with hunger, then I prayed to the gods. When the gods smote the cities wherein I dwelt, and when their anger scorched me and their eyes burned, then did I praise the gods and offer sacrifice. But when I came again to my green land and found that all was gone, and the old mysterious haunts wherein I prayed as a child were gone, and when the gods tore up the dust and even the spider's web from the last remembered nook, then did I curse the gods, speaking it to their faces, saying, "Gods of my prayers, gods of my sacrifice, because ye have forgotten the sacred places of my childhood, and they have therefore ceased to be, yet may I not forget. Because ye have done this thing, ye shall see cold altars, and shall lack both my fear and my praise. I shall not wince at your lightnings, nor be awed when ye go by." Then, looking seawards, I stood and cursed the gods. And at this moment there came to me one in the garb of a poet who said, "Curse not the gods." And I said to him, "Wherefore should I not curse those that have stolen my sacred places in the night and trodden down the gardens of my childhood?" And he said, "Come, and I will show thee." And I followed him to where two camels stood with their faces towards the desert. And we set out, and I traveled with him for a great space, he speaking never a word. And so we came at last to a waste valley hid in the desert's midst. And herein, like fallen moons, I saw vast ribs that stood up white out of the sand, higher than the hills of the desert. And here and there lay the enormous shapes of skulls, like the white marble domes of palaces, built for tyrannous kings a long while since by armies of driven slaves. Also there lay in the desert other bones, the bones of vast legs and arms, against which the desert, like a besieging sea, ever advanced and already had half drowned. And as I gazed in wonder at these colossal things, the poet said to me, "The gods are dead." And I gazed long in silence, and I said, "These fingers that are now so dead and so very white and still tore once the flowers and gardens of my youth." But my companion said to me, "I have brought thee here to ask of thee thy forgiveness of the gods, for I, being a poet, knew the gods, and would fain drive off the curses that hover above their bones, and bring them men's forgiveness as an offering at the last, that the weeds and the ivy may cover their bones from the sun." And I said, "They made remorse with his fur gray, like a rainy evening in the autumn, with many rending claws, and pain with his hot hands and lingering feet, and fear like a rat with two cold teeth carved each out of the ice of either pole, and anger with the swift flight of the dragonfly, in summer having burning eyes. I will not forgive these gods." But the poet said, "Canst thou be angry with these beautiful white bones?" And I looked long at these curved and beautiful bones that were no longer able to hurt the smallest creature in all the worlds that they had made. And I thought long of the evil that they had done, and also of the good. But when I thought of their great hands coming red and wet from battles to make a primrose for a child to pick, then I forgave the gods. and a gentle rain came falling out of heaven and stilled the restless sand. And a soft green moss grew suddenly and covered the bones till they looked like strange green hills. And I heard a cry and awoke and found that I had dreamed. And looking out of my house into the street, I found that a flash of lightning had killed a child. Then I knew that the gods still lived. Part 2. I lay asleep in the poppy fields of the gods, in the valley of Alderaan, where the gods come by night to meet together in council when the moon is low. And I dreamed that this was the secret. Fate and chance had played their game and ended, and all was over. All the hopes and tears, regrets, desires and sorrows, things that men wept for and unremembered things, and kingdoms and little gardens in the sea, and the worlds and the moons and the suns, and what remained was nothing, having neither color nor sound. Then said Fate to Chance, "Let us play our old game again." And they played it again together, using the gods as pieces, as they had played it oft before. "So that those things which have been shall all be again, and under the same bank, in the same land, a sudden glare of sunlight on the same spring day shall bring the same daffodil to bloom once more, and the same child shall pick it, and not regretted shall be the billion years that fell between. And the same old faces shall be seen again, yet not bereaved of their familiar haunts. And you and I shall in a garden meet again upon an afternoon in summer, when the sun stands midway between his zenith and the sea, where we met oft before. For fate and chance play but one game together, with every move the same, and they play it oft to while eternity away." All right, next one is part 2, The Journey of the King, and this is a really long one, and it's going to take several episodes to read all of it. But I'm pretty sure it is the last part, and let's hope it's a good one. One day the king turned to the woman that danced and said to them, "Dance no more." And those that bore the wine in jeweled cups he sent away. The palace of King Ebalon was emptied of sound of song, and there rose the voices of heralds crying in the streets to find the prophets of the land. Then went the dancers, the cupbearer, and the singers down into the hard streets among the houses. Pattering leaves, silvern fountain, and summer lightning, the dancers whose feet the gods had not devised for stony ways, which had only danced for princes. And with them went the singer, soul of the south, and the sweet singer, dream of the sea, whose voices the gods had attuned to the ears of kings. And old Istan, the cupbearer, left his life's work in the palace to tread the common ways. He that had stood at the elbows of three kings of Zarkandu, and had watched his ancient vintage feeding their valor and mirth as the waters of Tundaris feed the green plains to the south. Ever he had stood grave among their jests, but his heart warmed itself solely by the fire of the mirth of kings. He too, with the singers and dancers, went out into the dark. And throughout the land the heralds sought out the prophets thereof. Then one evening, as King Ebalon sat alone within his palace, there were brought before him all who had repute for wisdom, and who wrote the histories of the times to be. Then the king spake, saying, "The king goeth upon a journey with many horses, yet riding upon none, when the pomp of traveling shall be heard in the streets, and the sound of the lute and the drum and the name of the king. And I would know what princes and what people shall greet me on the other shore in the land to which I travel." Then fell a hush upon the prophets, for they murmured, "All knowledge is with the king." Then said the king, "Thou first, Saman, high prophet of the temple of gold in Azanorn, answer, or thou shalt write no more the history of the times to be, but shalt toil with thy hand to make record of the little happenings of the days that were, as do the common men." Then said Saman, "All knowledge is with the king. And when the pomp of traveling shall be heard in the streets, and the slow horses whereon the king rideth not go behind lute and drum, then, as the king well knoweth, thou shalt go down to the great white house of kings, and entering the portals where none are worthy to follow, shall make obeisance alone to all the elder kings of Zarkandu, whose bones are seated upon golden thrones, grasping their scepters still. Therein thou shalt go with robes and scepter through the marble porch, but thou shalt leave behind thee thy gleaming crown that others may wear it. And as the times go by, come in to swell the number of the 30 kings that sit in the great white house on golden thrones. There is one doorway in the great white house, and it stands wide with marble portals yawning for kings. But when it shall receive thee, and thine obeisance hath been made because of thine obligation to the 30 kings, thou shalt find at the back of the house an unknown door through which the soul of a king may just pass, and leaving thine bones upon a golden throne, thou shalt go unseen out of the great white house to tread the velvet spaces that lie among the worlds. Then, O king, it were well to travel fast, and not to tarry about the houses of men, as do the souls of some who still bewail the sudden murder that sent them upon the journey before their time, and who, being yet loath to go, linger in dark chambers all the night. These, setting forth to travel in the dawn, and traveling all the day, see earth behind them gleaming when evening falls, and again are loath to leave its pleasant haunts, and come back again through dark woods and up into some old loved chamber, and ever tarry between home and flight, and find no rest. Thou wilt set forth at once, because the journey is far and lasts for many hours. But the hours on the velvet spaces are the hours of the gods, and we may not say what time such an hour may be if reckoned in mortal years. At last, thou shalt come to a gray place filled with mist, with gray shapes standing before it, which are altars, and on the altars rise small red flames from dying fires that scarce illumine the mist. And in the mist it is dark and cold because the fires are low. These are the altars of the people's faiths, and the flames are the worship of men. And through the mist the gods of old go groping in the dark and in the cold. There thou shalt hear a voice cry feebly, "Inyani! Inyani, Lord of the Thunder, where art thou, for I cannot see?" And a voice shall answer faintly in the cold, "O maker of many worlds, I am here." And in that place the gods of old are nearly deaf, for the prayers of men grow few. They are nigh blind because the fires burn low upon the altars of men's faiths, and they are very cold. And all about the place of mist there lies a moaning sea, which is called the Sea of Souls. And behind the place of mist are the dim shapes of mountains, and on the peak of one there glows a silvern light that shines in the moaning sea. And ever as the flames on the altars die before the gods of old, the light in the mountain increases, and the light shines over the mist, and never through it as the gods of old grow blind. It is said that the light on the mountain shall one day become a new god, who is not of the gods of old. There, O king, thou shalt enter the Sea of Souls by the shore, where the altars stand which are covered in mist. In that sea are the souls of all that ever lived on the worlds and all that ever shall live, all freed from earth and flesh. And all the souls in that sea are aware of one another, but more than with hearing or sight or by taste or touch or smell. And they all speak to each other, yet not with lips, with voices which need no sound. And over the sea lies music as winds over an ocean on earth. And there, unfettered by language, great thoughts set outward through the souls, as on earth the currents go. Once did I dream that in a mist-built ship I sailed upon that sea and heard the music that is not of instruments and voices not from lips, and woke and found that I was upon the earth and that the gods had lied to me in the night. Into this sea, from fields of battle and cities, come down the rivers of lives, and ever the gods have taken onyx cups, and far and wide into the worlds again have flung the souls out of the sea, that each soul may find a prison in the body of a man, with five small windows closely barred, and each one shackled with forgetfulness. But all the while the light on the mountain grows, and none may say what work the god that shall be born of the silvern light shall work on the sea of souls, when the gods of old are dead and the sea is living still. And answer made the king, "Thou that art a prophet of the gods of old, go back and see that those red flames burn more brightly on the altars in the mist, for the gods of old are easy and pleasant gods, and thou canst not say what toil shall vex our souls when the god of the light on the mountain shall stride along the shore where bleach the huge bones of the gods of old." And Saman answered, "All knowledge is with the king." And that's it for today. We'll read more next time, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. Just like you hopefully always do. Once again, this is Margaret Dixon on Page Turners. I hope you enjoyed listening, because I enjoyed reading to you.